Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk, and thank you for your continued support of a platform that celebrates industry professionals all around the world. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you collaborate, you solve problems, making the world a better place, no doubt about it. It is quiet right now. We are at DistribuTech. We are really just a handful of people, and we're hitting it hard and heavy today. We're going to have great interviews, and we have one right off the bat. Right off the bat, he's a legend. Just get a paper and pencil because you're going to be drinking from a fire hose. He's Gail Wong. AT&T is the company. Let's get cracking. Gail is in the house.
Good morning, Orlando, and to all your listeners. My name is Gail Wong. I've been with AT&T.
Look at you. No. You just went right into it, man. You're just awesome.
Hey, you know, you give me a microphone.
Did you see that, Susie? He just rolled.
You give me a microphone. Well, you gave me three microphones.
I gave you three.
And
it just
tells me to start talking.
It does. No. Yeah, get to it, Gail.
I've got my AT&T-powered coffee cup, so I'm ready to I'm wired right now, actually. This is my second cup.
Are you guys offering the coffee over there?
Today at 3 o'clock.
You're in the neighborhood. We're in the same neighborhood.
Today's 3 o'clock. We'll definitely have coffee from 3 to 6, so a little extra.
We had ice cream yesterday.
That's right.
Which was doggone good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ice cream call at 3 o'clock, yes, sir.
Yeah. Just 1 second. She's in the house. She's after you.
Hi, how are you?
That's Sabine. She's awesome. So
welcome.
If you have a few minutes, we'll get right to it. We have Gail right now.
Hi, how are you? Where are you from, Sabine?
Go for it.
Where are you from?
Siemens.
We work with Siemens all day, every day. So, yeah. So we're all friends here.
Sabine is on deck, by the way.
Okay.
Sabine is on deck. So hang tight. Grab a chair or two. Give them the grab. And there you go. How about that? So Gail, outside of the fact. No. Just Gail. No. Pull the seats out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just you. Not Sabine. There they are. That's good. All right.
All right.
This is good.
It's good. It's live. It's live. We're going
it's
live.
Action right now.
What did we say yesterday was our tagline?
This morning.
You just going to live it.
No,
you
no.
Just got to live it.
Connecting changes everything. That's what you said. Did I get it right?
Connecting changes everything is really, if you think about what AT&T does and how, you know, in 2008, we had a tagline of AT&T connects your world everywhere you live and work and do it better than anybody else.
Right.
Circa 16 years later, and, you know, I've been almost here 22 years, so I've got so many different taglines where truly what does connectivity bring in this dawn of an age, right?
Yeah.
You know, the last time I was here, I had talked about how the commercials where you will, and we talked about you will be able to have a video conversation over the network between you and your family, between you and your customers, between you and your service providers or your partners. And we do that each and every day.
We do it without even thinking about it.
That's right.
It's like a Space Odyssey type stuff. You remember that?
That's right.
That's just fantastic.
So now you're talking about space, right? So how do we now be able to beam, and all the satellites now are pushing. You know, you talk to Elon, he's got Starlink, and you got to talk to AST. Now how do we broadcast a cellular plus data signal over satellite, not to a big satellite receiver that's on your RV, but now to your phone, and utilize the spectrum that we give to the satellite partners with AT&T, it's AST, and say, okay, beam that, help us find where we have assets that have little to minimal coverage. Well, your phone will be able to tell you that, right? You look at the current iPhones. iPhone 14 and above can do satellite SOS, right? And saying, hey, I'm stuck somewhere in the mountains or in the snow. Come save me, right? So Connecting changes everything. So if you think about it, right, that just saved your life, right? But when we talk about, you know, the things that we're doing here for utilities, well, at home, your utility meter is connected, right? No longer does a utility company need to send out and go read meters, right? You don't see the guys walking the sidewalks anymore, right? Because they're getting that data over what's called a network-based IoT connection, less than 100K. But all I need to do is read your meter every day. So now, what is that? That's good for the planet, right? Because we're not driving aimless cars everywhere. Right. It's good for data processing, right? Getting your bills accurately, right? Because it's just pinging one.
I don't want accurate bills. I want cheaper bills.
Yeah, cheaper bills. But if you can reduce the cost of rolling trucks, it benefits everybody.
Yeah.
Right. So that's just one aspect, right? And so what we're showing here at DistribuTech with AT&T Business and AT&T Connected Solutions is really about how does our solutions provide better visibility, provide operational efficiencies, so you can make informed decisions. So, you know, we've got we support the utility industry just like with our FirstNet partners, right? AT&T is the contract vendor to provide a network for first responders, which utility companies are extended primary for supporting. Hey, we need to get facilities back up and running for its constituents. So when Congress authorized it, AT&T won the bid to build out the FirstNet network. And so circa 6-7 years later, we have met all of our goals that we've outlined. And so the federal government just gave us another $6 billion to now put that FirstNet network, which is basically a separate band that is definitely available on your cell phones, but only available to the first responder networks. Because unfortunately, during 9/11, nobody could talk to each other. No first responder agents. Everything was just there. It was the airwaves and you know, there wasn't interoperability between all the different agencies. So as we built the network, right, we said, okay, what are the applications that you need as a first responder, right? We made sure those devices, the device partners, right? We don't make the phones. We're like BASF, if you remember that tagline. We don't make oil, we make oil richer, right? But we make the network, which has priority preemption capabilities, where you're number one on the network list when something goes wrong. You have a dedicated network across our consumer and commercial network that is for you to make that call during the Super Bowl or during a national disaster. We're there to support you. And we have over 175 our Sentry robotic dogs that are available to FirstNet agencies when they need it. We even have amphibious vehicles. So if you remember that hurricane that happened off the Tampa side, right? South of Tampa.
Right. Yeah.
We had to bring cellular assets to an island that was not connected. It was completely off the grid.
It's true.
Right? So we drove our amphibious vehicle, used the cellular on wheels.
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
Because all I know is I've seen your mad technology over there, and I'm geeking out on that. So I'm.
Yeah. A rapid deployment vehicle. Yeah. So basically, that covers 2 miles of area coverage, right? And I talked about our wings, right? Wow. So we can send a helicopter up in the sky, powered from the ground, where that's going to broadcast up to 9 miles of coverage for up to 16 days.
Hold on. You know, see, this is what I was telling everybody. I said, you're going to be drinking from a fire hose because he's just peppering us with these solutions. So just take it back down. You're saying that helicopter that I see over there,
yes,
is a cellular capable
that hovers
that will provide cellular or communication, emergency response communication.
Correct, because it's connected to, because there's not enough gas in the helicopter, right?
Right.
But because it's power over Ethernet and you drop a cable up to 400 feet down, it's being powered by the generators we bring on site. So during a national disaster.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I am part of AT&T's.
See, that's just cool.
Yeah. I am part of AT&T's network disaster recovery network, right? So it's hundreds of assets that are at the beck and call of when there's a disaster. So we roll the team out and we say, okay, we need to set up these, you know, facilities for the staff because we're going to be there 2-3 weeks. We need to set up the generators. We need to set up the network equipment. All of that comes and we take over an area. And so we say, okay,
that's cool stuff.
First responders, what do you guys need? Where do you see, whether you're a fire department, police, or the utilities, where do you guys need us to give you connectivity, right? Because you have your cell phones that need to talk. You have your laptops that need to talk. You need the FEMA to come in. So all of those government agencies are on that FirstNet umbrella. Right, over 22,000 agencies with over 6 million devices are now on FirstNet.
How did you do it? How quickly did you deploy it? You had the incident that happened in, let's say, continue to use Tampa, and clearly needed some help. How quickly can you deploy these solutions?
At a minimum, you can get certain assets in hours, right? Because we've got multiple depots that all of those equipments are staged as well. So. Yeah, so, you know, a hurricane, it's going to take days to come. But we've already staged those assets. We staged the fuel trucks. And so we're ready to roll into. If there's somewhere within 100, 200 miles that we know, our assets are just ready to go. Right? And then we roll the trucks in. But when it's when there's fiber cuts and all that other stuff, then that's when those trailers with network equipment that we're going to reroute all that traffic, but that's when we got to plug in things, right? Just like when you have fiber to your house, right? We've got, instead of fiber to house, we basically connect from one facility through a trailer that has all the switching gear, because maybe that central office doesn't have power.
Yeah.
Even though we've had generators there,
right.
It gets flooded in or something happens. Well, we've got to route all that power, bring new network equipment on trailers to connect it, and voila, the network's back up, right? And that could be a 48-hour turnaround, just depending on what the severity is. But from a vehicle perspective or a flying wheel perspective, we can get them back and running. So you'll see there's briefcases over there.
Right.
So those briefcases are definitely portable. You put it in your GMC Denali, you're off and running, and now you've got 1 mile of coverage over satellite, cellular, that you can broadcast that little camp that you've set up.
This is so vital. This is something that I didn't realize. I knew that there were responses to this, but communication is everything in an emergency situation,
for sure.
Right? And the quicker you can do it, of course, it makes sense.
Yep.
I just didn't know. And it's not as if you can't have these connected solutions.
Exactly. And so that's what all these utility providers that surround us here and the technologies he's used. So what I've done in the last 5-6 years is, you know, data is just data, right? And I'm a full ingester of AI, and I like to say Gen I is Gale AI, where it's really talking about I get all this data now that, you know, I run the fleet management, asset tracking, kind of the go-to-market strategy of, well, with this data, it's kind of like when you married Susie, right? With this data, I thee wed, right? So what do you do with the data that all of these technology partners, whether it's AWS, Oracle, Salesforce, they're all here. But what do we do that data that makes business sense? So, you know, AT&T has over 127 million connected devices out there, right? Whether it's a vehicle, a smart grid, generators, trucks like I have, right? I can tell, and this is how, from a strategy perspective, hey, utility providers, we are your network. We are your partners, that there's a whole transformation going on of of I'm into the EV vehicle space now, right? I've had a Tesla since 2018, right? My VIN was 8002 of the Model 3 car that got released.
What are you bragging? Are you bragging? You're bragging.
I'm not bragging because it was my brother who actually got me the spot to get a 2018 Model 3. But that was my first tranche, right? And with the Tesla Supercharger network, Elon was smart. Elon knew if we don't have a Supercharger network coast to coast, this is going to die in a vine. It's going to be like that shiny toy that lost its luster because the wheel fell off.
Yeah.
So you've seen all these bills that the government has passed with the infrastructure bill and putting money towards EV charging and things like that. Well, GM, like all the other car manufacturers, and no fault to them, because they were just playing catch up with what they saw Tesla doing, right? And they saw what China's doing. So when you see all of that buzz, well, we need to catch up too. Well, what did they do? They reverse engineer a Model 3, right? Yeah. They bought 100 of them and took it apart and says, oh, well, this is their battery thing and we need to somewhat copy it, right? And so now what's happening is that, you know, we are one of America's largest fleet telematics provider. But eventually, you're going to have to make a decision of, well, is my fleet suitable to migrate to some kind of plug-in hybrid or battery electric hybrid fleet? Well, that matters to a utility, right? Because do I have enough power on the grid that's going to see a 30% rise in EV chargers?
That's a whole nother conversation. I mean, that's a challenging...
Exactly. But we're showing utilities. That as a mutual customer or mutual partner to our customers is that here's what is suggested based on... We have the data. So we have engine hours, idle hours, miles per gallon, how many miles you've driven in a full year. Taking that data set, right, and then factored into your enterprise application that's using your asset management or your TMS platform, where are the routes that he drove, right? So AT&T just made the decision to buy 100 Rivian EV trucks to replace our GM V8 trucks that are installing your fiber tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, how did we make that decision? Well, I've got 70,000 vehicles on my fleet telematics that are AT&T. So I'm sharing what that utilization looks like, and somebody's making the decision to say, okay, let's have these assets in Dallas because that's a huge growth number because everybody's moving to Texas. So instead of having a gasoline vehicle out there, why not have the EV vehicles because it costs us less, right? And we can do it faster, right? I can get 400, you know, on one of those Rivians, I can probably get 300, 400 miles without ever having to worry about getting gas and charge, you know, I just charge it every night.
But in Dallas, you have an infrastructure too.
Correct.
You've got to have that to be able to support that.
Exactly.
That
so
strategy.
Yeah. Because so then that's where we go to the customers and say, okay, because, And for the listeners, right, we give these sustainability tab on our platform where you can see where have you last charged, right? Are you using public chargers? Are you using office chargers? Are you using...
really?
Yeah. And so I'm charged from home. So I have, you know, ACS McKinney, that's my home. AT&T Innovation Center is where I charge at work. But when I need to go to Austin or when I need to go to Houston, I've got to use a public charger. So I can see what my utilization is based on that. But what the problem is, you see, with Electrify America or some of these other players, they're not maintaining the chargers well enough where until, you know, you see 3 of 6 chargers in Belmead, Texas, at a Walmart, and 3 of 6 of them are down. Well, to the Electrify America, it's... Oops. What is that severity? They don't know because they can't see how busy that location is. And that's the only one from Dallas to Austin. So what we have, you know, I talked about enhanced visibility and making operational decisions. We have an IoT video intelligence where I can put a camera on the light pole next to the chargers And I can see how many people are waiting. How severe is this outage if I'm the only Electrify America charging area, which is, you know, they're here, right? And make that ticket from moderate to severe because there's 10 people waiting for three chargers.
Right.
Because no air, that's the dread. If you don't have a Tesla vehicle today, the dread of you having to charge on the road is severe. Look, you saw the Ford CEO, or it might have been the GM CEO, where they had said, oh yeah, you know, I had to stop for like an hour, right? And
which is never a good thing to say.
Exactly.
Never.
Right? And it was like, wait, you know, the infrastructure's really not there. So that's how, if we can bring visibility to all of our friends that are behind this wall, that's what we do. Connecting changes everything, because the greater visibility, the operational efficiencies, it's going to make everybody's life happier.
You wrapped it up, didn't you? You did. You are absolutely a wealth of knowledge. How do people get a hold of you, Gail?
You can find me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/GailPeterWong, or you can reach me at Gail, G-A-I-L, .Wong, W-O-N-G, at ATT.com. Thank you.
He's a social man. You're just a machine.
I appreciate that. Well, today, you know, I travel so much, and you think you've seen everything while you're traveling. I saw a Ghostbusters Octomobile, and I'll show you the picture right after this. It is the hilarious thing.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. You're going to have all the contact information for Gail out on Industrial Talk, so fear not. Reach out to him. He is a wealth of knowledge. He is somebody that you need to collaborate without a doubt. So we will be right back.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
That was a great conversation. So cool. Gail has tremendous passion. You need to reach out with this guy. You need to go out to his LinkedIn stat card, which is out on Industrial Talk. Connect with them. That was DistribuTech. Man, it was a fun conversation. And you should have seen their booth. Of course, they had this helicopter and being able to provide, internet for areas that are struggling due to whatever disaster. That is so cool. All right, speaking of Industrial Talk, you need to connect with me. You need to amplify your voice. We have a platform that is specific to you industrial professionals. We have to get the word out. It is changing so drastically. Let's make it happen. Be a part of this expanding ecosystem. We have webcasts. We have podcasts. Of course, we have podcasts. And of course, we have technology sprints. Highlight your technology. Come on here and highlight your technology. Yeah, it's all there. You need to do it. Hang out with Gail. Change the world. We're going to have another great conversation from DistribuTech shortly.